The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Peter came up and said to Jesus, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you 7 times, but 70 times 7. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, 'Pay what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will repay you.' He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant, as I had mercy on you?' And in anger his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our texts really are, first of all, from the second petition that we're going to recite together. Now, if you would turn your hymnal to page 324, you will see at the left-hand column the second petition of the Lord's Prayer, which, along with the gospel lesson for today, is our text. Let's read it together. Thy kingdom come. What does this mean? The kingdom of God certainly comes by itself without our prayer, but we pray in this petition that it may come to us also. How does God's kingdom come? God's kingdom comes when our Heavenly Father gives us his Holy Spirit, so that by his grace we believe his holy word and lead godly lives here in time and there in eternity. It's a real honor and joy to be here this morning. I've known about this church for many years. I was a pastor in this district for 21 years, and I remember when it was part of Chicago Park. Pastor LeBrenz, actually his brother, was my teacher at Lutheran High School. So I used to say, "Hey, how's your brother doing?" kind of thing. So I'm one of these old timers. Actually, there's a little bit of a error in the bulletin. He said I was in the ministry for 27 years, and my wife would have said, "Where are you, hon? Where I didn't see." Oh, okay. She would have said 27 years. That's a piece of cake. Actually, it was 47 years. 27 years as a parish pastor, and then another 20 years for the synod. So, but anyway, other than that, everything's correct in the little bio that I sent. Well, the text, we have two texts this morning. As I said, first of all, the second petition of the Lord's Prayer, which is what activity for this 500th anniversary of the Reformation, to actually go through Luther's Small Catechism. That's a wonderful, wonderful activity. And so, in addition, also from the gospel lesson for today, the gospel lesson is also the text, the primary text for the message this morning. But, you know, in every text there's a key verse. There's the core of the matter. And for us, the text for today, the key verse, I believe, is verse 33. If you will note that in your bulletin. And it goes like this. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? Now, this is a wonderful sermon series on the chief parts of the Small Catechism. And your pastor assigned me for the second time, because for the first time I wasn't able to be there. I was at a funeral in Houston, Texas, about 2 weeks before the big flood, so I got out of there in time, didn't I? But it was the funeral of my teacher from the first 6 years of school in the Lutheran school, so I had to go. And so he excused me, and he actually gave me another date. I thought he was going to say, "Well, forget about you then," but no, he was very nice. He gave me another opportunity to come, and he gave me this petition of the second petition, "Thy kingdom come." So, in addition to my preaching assignment based on the second petition, also including interfacing and interweaving, if you would, this wonderful petition with today's gospel lesson, as this astoundingly profound and yet practical and applicable lesson from Matthew 18, where we are called to forgive as we have been forgiven. This is the very heart and essence of the kingdom. And as Luther explains, that the kingdom may come unto us also. Amazingly, and I suspect you planned the series well, today's gospel lesson speaks powerfully about the very heart and essence of the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, often used synonymously, and how the kingdom of God, how it truly comes among us. As Luther explains this petition, quote, "The kingdom of God comes indeed without our prayer of itself, but we pray in this petition that it may come unto us also." In other words, how do we make it practical? How can we use it in our daily lives? And where, in what specific situations, circumstances, and critical challenges do we want the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, to come unto us also, if not in our daily and interpersonal relationships, in our homes, in our work, in our congregation, wherever we live and move and have our being on a day-to-day basis, where we're dealing with people, with personalities, and with situations that sometimes the sparks fly, right? You know, this is where we really want the kingdom of God to come unto us also. Because we know that whenever two or three are gathered together anywhere, there's going to be some sparks flying. There's going to be what we call argumentation about a point or so. There's going to be conflict. And unfortunately, sometimes when the conflict is not resolved, there can be ruptured relationships. And sometimes ruptured relationships that cannot be mended. And so today's gospel lesson, utilizing a lender king image, gets right down to the business of settling what is owed, noting the catastrophic consequences of not paying up. This is the image that is used to explain how our sins have been settled at the cross and the empty tomb, and how we then also share that forgiveness with one another. The text begins like this. A king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. That's how it begins, right after the question that Peter asked about the extent of forgiving, and Jesus' answer, in essence saying to Peter, well, you forgive your brother as often as he asks for forgiveness. I suspect that Peter was a bit shocked by 70 times 7. We might also be a little shocked too. Say, "Why that many times?" I think it's 490, if math is correct. 490 times I got to forgive? And he thought that he was pretty generous in his willingness to forgive his offenders 7 times. And after a while, you know, somebody sins against us 7 times. Well, that's even for us a bit much. You know, we say, well, didn't I tell you, you know, not to do that? And here you're doing it again. Not 1, not 2, not 3, not 4, not 5, not 6, but 7. You're done. That's it. No, Jesus says 70 times 7. And so it turns out that the kingdom that we pray may also come unto us is all about the King, the Heavenly Father, settling accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, the text continues. What does it mean to settle? It's an interesting word, to settle. Profound and perhaps maybe even disturbing. The need to settle accounts. A time of reckoning. But not so fast. For in the economy of God, in full view of our sin, of all of our sins, in view of the cross, all of our sins are settled, are nailed to the cross. Every last one of our sins was settled, paid in full. As Paul explains our baptismal newness in Christ, Romans 6:18, you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. This settling of accounts, of a full and complete accounting of our sinfulness by way of the cross and the empty tomb, is further illustrated and clarified when the King and the indebted servant, indebted beyond any ability to pay, come face to face. It's actually a very practical lesson even for us as we need to resolve and be reconciled. You know, we've got to come face to face. We can't be talking about each other. Finally, in analysis, final analysis, we got to come face to face. And so here too, they come face to face, the lender king and the indebted servant. The text reads, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But the text reads that he could not pay. He owed 10,000 talents. It was a time of reckoning, a time of settling accounts, but he could not pay. How he got into this enormous debt, or why the lender king illustration used to amplify grace, why he lent them all this money, it is not mentioned, but that he could not pay was absolutely and unequivocally true, an impossibility. For a talent, a weight of silver, was worth 15 years of wages to a typical worker in that day and age. And so 10,000 talents was worth 150 years worth of income, equal to 3,000 financial life sentences. This is our plight. Our debt is bigger than our ability to pay, and so without Christ, we are lost and condemned creatures, as Luther describes us in his explanation to the second article of the Apostles' Creed. And so the lender king ordered him to be sold together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees, the text continues. Fell on his knees. Surely, it was the right posture. Falling on his knees. Think about that for a moment. Falling on our knees. As I'm sure some of us have done. Sometime in our lives. At critical, maybe life-threatening junctures. Falling on our knees before our Father signifies that we are willing to subject our will to His. As Jesus did in His passion, or at His passion, in the garden when He prayed fervently, remember? Not my will, but thine be done. 59 times in the New Testament, we find this word, falling on our knees before him. Proskynein is the Greek word. So it was with this servant of the lender king who pleaded with all his heart, soul, and voice, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave him his sin. And so we too, not necessarily fall on our knees. Sometimes churches have kneelers, and some of us, you know, our knees are not what they used to be, right? So it's a little tough to kneel. But nonetheless, and maybe in our hearts and minds, we prostrate ourselves before the Lord. And we, when we beg for pity, even in the confession, we were pleading and begging, and the Lord had pity. As the pastor, the Lord used my vocal cords to speak the absolution, the out of pity, forgiven us all of our sins. Ecstatic joy and comforting peace are words that best describe our discovering from God's word that our Heavenly Father has compassionate mercy upon us sinners in forgiving all of our sins. Absolutely every one of our sins has been nailed to the cross. This is our faith as the grateful recipients of the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting, as we confess in the concluding words of the Apostles' Creed. For we could never, ever pay for our sins. Never, never, never. Never perform sufficient good deeds to cancel out our misdeeds. We are like the protagonist in this account of the servant who owed 10,000 talents with not the slimmest of hope to ever repay his debt. We rely totally and completely on his grace. His undeserved love for us, his humble servants who rejoice that Jesus Christ, as Luther explains the second article of the Apostles' Creed, has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me from all sins, from death and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own. Maybe some of you were kind of mouthing that a little bit. We had to memorize that years ago, right? And some of you might even have to memorize it in the German, right? I don't know. preached all over the country, and sometimes people would say, I memorized all that in the German. And so if you have come to worship this morning here at Grace around Word and Sacrament, burdened by a particular sin, sometimes we are burdened by sins because we live out in the sinful world, and we're bound to crash right into sinfulness. If you are burdened by a particular sin or sins, as you have come to worship this morning, remember the words of the absolution that Pastor spoke to all of us for Jesus' sake and in his stead, assuring us that all of our sins are forgiven. In the sacrament of Holy Communion that we will shortly receive, the promise of forgiveness will be firmly sealed as we receive the true body and blood of Jesus, truly present in the bread and wine of Holy Communion. So, if you're burdened down with a sin, something maybe this week or last week or maybe years ago, something that's just kind of been burdening you, leave the burden here. The burden of whatever sin haunts and disturbs you this day, leave it here. You are free from that burden and guilt. He has forgiven you all of your sins. Go in peace and go also as bearers of peace, intent on forgiving anyone and everyone who has sinned against you. The forgiveness that we have received and will continue to receive all of our lives empowers us under the Holy Spirit to also forgive those who have sinned against us. And just as sometimes we are perturbed by sins that we have committed, sometimes we're also extremely perturbed and disturbed and angered by those who have sinned against us. They too need the forgiveness of sins. Unfortunately, this is not always so. At times we fail to see that we are forgiven so that we might, under the power of the Holy Spirit, also be forgiving. We are forgiven that we might be forgiving. Forgiven that we might be forgiven so that God's kingdom might truly come unto us, as we confess in the second petition of the Lord's Prayer. The account of today's gospel of the servant who owed 10,000 talents, and we already mentioned how big of a debt that was, and whose enormous debt was forgiven, settled, paid in full by the lender king, has a sad, sad ending. What was this servant thinking? That having been forgiven an enormous, impossible debt, he turns around and does not forgive a servant who owed him just a puny little debt in comparison to what he owed. What was he thinking when he said, boy, did I get a deal? What was he thinking that he fooled the lender king? Boy, I sure fooled him. And so we hear again the sad ending to the invitation to live in the kingdom of grace, to be the grateful recipients of God's undeserved love. Sad that a precious gift was squandered on greed, insolence, and spiritual blindness. Beginning at verse 28 of today's gospel, reads like this, sad words. But when the same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him, he began to choke him and saying, pay what you owe. And so the fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place, for his master summoned him. Then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me, and should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailer until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Now, as we pray fervently to understand and live in the kingdom of God's grace, where we receive mercy that we might also impart mercy, we would do well to give fervent thought to the plight of those whom our merciful Father forgives much, but they, in turn, forgive nothing. Along with God's precious gift of forgiveness, won for us on the cross and the empty tomb, comes the invitation to all of us, the urgent call to all of us to forgive as we have been forgiven. As we pray in the fifth petition, "And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us." Ah, but are we in trouble if we don't rely totally and completely on the empowering Holy Spirit to touch our hearts and move us to mercifully forgive one another as we have been forgiven? For the Holy Spirit of the triune God, working through the means of grace, the word and the sacrament, is our sanctifier. We call him a sanctifier. Carefully and patiently, yet intently and strategically, moving our hearts to mercifully impart the forgiveness we ourselves have received. Luther explains this enormous sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit in our lives as he explains the third article of the Apostles' Creed, in which we in turn confess. Quote, "I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but that the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith, even as he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith, in which Christian church he daily and richly forgives all sins to me and to all believers. And so, may the power of the Holy Spirit descend upon each and every one of us this day and move us to pray with hope and sincerity, Thy kingdom come, that it might come unto us also and empower us to forgive as we have been forgiven. Amen. The peace of God, which exceeds all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.